Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh,
well, you know what? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, man, my co-pilot. The one that's been with me holding it down
in person. I'm trying to, kid. These niggas, they call me Mr. No Disrespect. These niggas ain't these niggas don't care. Sheldon ain't been in the studio since 1884.
He don't want to mess up the hat.
I came one time this year. Well, it was last year.
He got a moonlight background. And FIFA just people right. Always on the go.
You what the movie moonlight?
Y'all, boy.
Leaving us here, bro. We just got it down. We got all this space for two niggas.
Oh, what's up, man. Y'all? BZ FIFO.
What up?
Dude, chilling, man.
Yeah, hey, FIFO. Hey, FIFO. I meant to text you to tell you to have your list. I should have texted you so you just have it ready. I wanted you to run through
it's
it real
ready?
Quick. Huh?
It's ready. Come on, man.
Oh, okay. Well, Nick, it's you know how Nick got the flow of the show. I figured since we all gave our top five each position last week and you wasn't there, I feel like you got to at least get a people your top five each position.
Oh, I got it.
Go ahead.
Can I go?
Yeah.
Can I go, sir, Nick?
What positions where you going to start for point guards first or centers first?
I'm going to start with centers. They don't run the game no more.
Okay.
So at number five, I got Vucevic from Orlando.
Okay.
At number four, I got Rudy Gobert.
Okay.
At number three, I got Bam Adebayo.
Okay.
At number two, I got Joel Embiid. And number one, okay. I got the Joker. Power forwards.
Yours was damn near identical to me and Ken's, I think. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. So how was y'all's different?
Mine's I had Aiden at five, Rudy at four, Bam at three, I had Joker at two, and Embiid at one. But I you can flip a coin for one and two between Joker and Embiid.
Yeah. All right, bet. All right. So for power forwards at number five, I got Julius Randle. At four, I got Domantas Sabonis. At number three, I got Kristaps. At number two, I got Zion. At number one, I got AD.
Chris? KP?
KP.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead. What? Just small forward.
All right. Small forward. At number five, I got PG-13. At number four, I got Giannis. At number three, I got Kawhi. At number two, I got KD. And number one, I got LeBron.
Okay.
Or actually, no. That's a mistake.
Because I had Giannis in my power four when I did mine. But go ahead.
Yeah. No. That's a mistake. So number five, I have Luka. I have Luka as a small forward.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have Luka as a small forward. So take out PG-13, put Luka there. Shooting guard, number five, give me Jaylen Brown. At number four, Zach LaVine. Number three, Bradley Beal. Number two, Devin Booker. Number one, James Harden. Point guards, number five, give me Ja Morant. Number four, give me Kyrie. Number three, give me CP3. Number two, give me Dane. Number one, give me Steph.
Okay.
So you don't have Donovan Mitchell as a top five shooting guard.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked by that one, people.
All right, take Jaylen Brown out. Put D Mitch number five.
Oh, this nigga's list is this nigga's list. Hey, Fipo, like he's
still creating it. Swap him out.
Hey, Fipo. Hey, Fipo, who you got that number one spot of the two guard dome?
James Harden?
Okay.
James Harden.
He had five.
You named Zach LaVine. Hey, that's crazy you named Zach LaVine because someone hit me and Ken up on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I was actually thinking about him, but I didn't put him on my five. But I was definitely considering Zach LaVine.
Wow. Yeah. Like, he's better than Oladipo. Like, outside of Book and James Harden, like, there's really not a better two guard in the league right now.
You didn't have Bradley Beal in your joints, did you?
Yeah, I did. He was number three.
You're number three. Okay. Okay.
Wait, hold on. What was Zach LaVine?
Four.
So you just said that Zach LaVine is top three at his position, right?
I'm talking freely, bro.
I'm talking off juice. This nigga. We drinking this one. But you had you had Kristaps Porzingis. Wait, top man. Three.
Hold on. You can't talk, bro. Tell him who in your top five power forward.
He had Julius Randle too.
He had him too.
He had him at five.
All right, man. We move on.
Bro, they keep denying the nigga.
Hey, do you know what Julius Randle's PER is? Julius is balling.
Yeah, he's having a decent year, but he ain't got nobody else.
He ain't having no goddamn decent year. He's having a great year.
Hold on, Wavy. Tell him who you got in your top three. Did he have Harris in his top three too? It's small forward.
No. He was five. He was five.
He had Tobias Harris on his list, bro. Small forward.
Who, Shelton?
Yes.
Yeah. You tripping.
Put that hat back on, bro.
Tobias don't get no respect. Devin Booker is ranked so high based off what he should be doing, not what he's doing. Right?
So D-Book isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing right now?
I mean, he's decent, but he ain't killing it. It ain't like he's burning it up right now. He ain't better than Bradley Beal right now.
Oh,
not on court. Not on court right now. I'm talking about what he's been doing in games. I saw Devin Booker. I think he scored like 8 points in a game. I saw it. I ain't saw Bradley Beal do that this year.
Wait. I'm sorry. You're holding the fact that he scored 8 points in a game against him?
No. I'm saying that I was just using that one for an example. I'm just saying he ain't been blowing me away this year. Right. He's been decent, but he's not been. He's been. Bradley Beal has been better on court all year long.
Yeah, but Bradley Beal is what one of the sole offensive producers on that team. When you look at the Phoenix Suns, Chris Paul is spreading the ball around, so Devin Booker doesn't really have to produce as much offense as he used to. At some point, you're going to see Devin Booker like get to that point under, I think, Chris Paul's guidance, that he's going to be like a closer and that he's just going to help him really kind of manage and pace the game right now. We know what Devin Booker is. You right. Acting like we don't know what he is.
No, I'm saying I agree with what you're saying, but he's not there now. So that doesn't make him get up there because of what he could be. You know what I mean? If he ain't doing it, I mean, just because he can do it, he got to do it.
No, he's done it in the past in multiple years.
Yeah, so he's been doing it.
Right.
Not this year, though. I'm talking. We this based off this year.
Only 15 games.
If that's the case, then Drew Brees is amazing because he's done it every year up until this year. You see what I'm saying? I'm just speaking on this year in particular.
Hey, FIFA,
this year, Booker.
Oh, go ahead.
He's been decent. No. I was going to say he's been decent, but he's done nothing spectacular like to be ranked that high.
He hadn't really had to, and I think CP3 is really having that effect on him, and not only just him and the team, because Ayton's is getting more shots. Bridges is getting more shots. Cameron Johnson are getting more shot attempts. So Devin Booker don't have to be, you know, that sole engine for the team anymore. It's a CP3 effect. It's all opinion.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Sheldon. Go ahead, Sheldon.
No, I was going to say that is good, but the games that I've seen, I hadn't seen all the games. I've seen about maybe three Suns games, and the three that I've seen, out of the three, only one was he very impressive to me. The only one that he looked like he was unstoppable.
And I think that's really the coach, and I think he's really playing, he's learning how to play under control now. And I could, like, I could, when I watch a player, it looks like he just ready to go off. Like, he just want to take every shot.
He's never played with a point guard like CP3 before. Just think, look what he was doing before CP3 got there. The man scored like 71, 73 points in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, he was the vocal point. So, like, him
right.
playing with a point guard like CP3, yeah, it's not he's not going to be very ball dominant because you got your ball dominant general now.
Mm-hmm. Right, but wouldn't that same thing apply to, say, Bradley Beal? I mean, now he's playing with Russell Westbrook of all people.
No.
Shouldn't his production go down?
First of all, Russ has been in and out. Go ahead, B.
Yeah, no. I was just saying Russ is not a floor general like Brad, like a CP3. So he's gonna still get his. He's not that type of point guard. Russell is not that type of point guard like CP3 is, to where, like what Cam mentioned, everybody's gonna get their shots. He's gonna spread the ball around real good and just save Devin Booker for closing out.
Yeah, Russ has been on and off the court all year. It's still the two of them, and there's a lot of trash. They don't have as much talent to be able to spread the ball around the way that Phoenix has. So that's why you see the difference. That's why you see Bradley Beal putting up 60 and 50 points a game, because he's the only one on the team. He's doing Bradley Booker and on the past Phoenix Suns team.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
You know. Right.
What was you about to say, B?
No, I was going to ask FIFO. So who's your point guards again?
I got Ja Morant at 5, Kyrie at 4, CP at 3, Dame at 2, Steph at 1.
So ours was almost the same. Except I actually had Luka at point guard.
Okay.
I had Luka. We pretty much had the same thing, except you had Kyrie in yours. I didn't have Kyrie in mine. Mine was CP3 at 5, Ja Morant at 4, Luka at 3, Dame at 2, and Steph at 1.
To me, that's another potential pick, though, because we talk about Ja's my guy. Now, don't get me wrong. You know that all day long. But how many games has he played this year? Like 3 or 4?
I think he played a little bit more than that. He's been hurt.
Yeah, he played more than
So based off this year, how can he be in your top 5 if he can play really no games? I mean, he was impressive when he did play, but he's not been able to be himself yet.
That's why I was saying, like, the criteria for me has to include last year, with because we're only 15 games in. So it's not like if no one's wowing you right now, that don't mean there's still a lot of basketball to be played. So you're kind of going off of how they ended last season and what they're doing this season. You can't just go off 15 games and beat, because our top fives will look totally different. Colin Sexton will be a top 5 point guard if we were just going off of what's going on this year.
Julius Randle will be a top 5.
Chill, all right, kid, chill out. All right,
chill out.
You ain't got to follow me.
Yeah, that's a good one, kid. Touche, kid.
Oh, shit.
Touche. Man, yeah.
While doing this list, hold on, before you move on, Nick. While doing this list, what I realized, the weakest position in basketball now is the power forward position.
Mm.
Yeah, because they just count that as a big. You know, you can be between a power forward and a center.
Look at my list.
You think the power forward position was weaker than you mean in top 5, even weaker than center?
Yeah, it's weaker than center.
I can't even remember who my damn top 5 was.
Because you could say
it also depends who you add. Exactly. So if you say KG is a power forward, or Giannis, between those guys are really threes. Their game is a 3.
That's why, we talked about that last time. I was saying, man, we need to add like a hybrid position to the top 5 list, because some of these guys are hybrids. They do, like, we know KD plays outside. He's not your traditional 4, but he's listed as a 4 in their lineup. And same thing with Luka. Luka is not your traditional point guard. Neither is LeBron, but LeBron not so much anymore, but they line up at the 1.
Hey, Shelton, I forgot to mention too. Though I disagree with putting Malcolm Brogdon top 5, I can see why you put him in your top 5. Because look, what?
Go ahead, I agree with you.
No, because looking at it, Malcolm Brogdon, the way Shelton is putting it, he's like a Chauncey Billups during his Piston years. Like, it wasn't the sexiest pick. You know, when Billups was end up top 5, but also Billups was a champion in the finals MVP, something that Malcolm Brogdon don't got yet, or probably not going to get. But, like, I can see why. Like, because Chauncey Billups' numbers was, like, even keel across the board. But it was just like, it was even as a Piston fan, the only reason why like them years I maybe put him in my top five, because I'm like, okay, well, he's an NBA champion. He led a team. He beat the Lakers and he was a finals MVP. Like, it's kind of hard not put him in top five then. But just from across the board, he gets it done, just like Malcolm Brogdon gets it done. It's just not a sexy pick. But I can understand why someone would put him in there. I just wouldn't put him in my top five PGs.
But you know, that's a good comparison, Chauncey Billups to him too. Yeah. You know, because they both played on both ends. Malcolm Brogdon's gonna play some defense. If you ask the opposing point guard, they don't really be wanting to see him like that.
Yeah,
because he's gonna play.
I understand
the floor.
I understand. I thought about that. I was just like, yeah, it's. I was like, that's. I like Malcolm Brogdon is the Chauncey Billups without the ring right now. Like, he's even keel. He plays on both sides of the court. He gets it done, but it's just not. It's not a sexy pick, if that makes sense. But I understand it. I mean, just from a basketball head, I understand why you picked him looking back. But when you first said it, we was like, wait a minute, what? Over such and such? Like, yeah.
Chauncey Billups somewhere throwing up in a paper bag.
No, hey, Ken, I said, look, minus the champion. I know, I'm just saying from a player stand, I'm not talking about accolades and stuff. I mean, yeah.
No. This year. I was basing that off this year too, Ken. He ain't done none of that stuff yet. But this year.
Go ahead, Sheldon.
No, I was just gonna say this year. He's been doing it.
You know why B brought it up? He gotta talk about the Pistons somehow. He gotta make sure niggas know where he's from. You know what I mean? Out of all the motherfucking players, you picked Chauncey Billups. And your justification was that 1 year. All that shit.
It was a thought, though. I'm just telling you. I see it. Okay. I see it. Because people was questioning, was Chauncey Billups a top five point guard during that run? And, you know, it was like, well, he led a team to a championship. He was a big underdog, and he was a finals MVP. So, I mean, the facts is there.
Right.
All right, let's move on to current NBA topics going on. There's not too much, but there's some interesting stuff that's happened this week so far. We finally got to see the big three.
Mm-hmm.
What you call this show, the Brooklyn Mess?
Yeah.
Kyrie definitely a Brooklyn Dodger. Well, he was dunking and dodging all up until this point.
Oh, man.
Is Kyrie, my question to y'all, is Kyrie coming back, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
When you say...
I hate to have such a generic answer. I know y'all going to say some more interesting things, but to me, it's a wait and see. I mean, granted, last week and even the previous weeks, last week mainly, because we knew when, you know, I think at that time we knew Harden. Was Harden traded at that point last week when we recorded last Thursday?
Yeah, he was.
I was saying who's gonna play defense. So, and then I was saying, you know, by Kyrie and James Harden being such a ball dominant guards, I was curious how that was gonna work. I can see Kyrie playing a little bit more off the ball more so than James Harden, but I'm still worried about how that's gonna mesh. I'm not about to throw everything up in arms over a game that I watched them playing against Cleveland. Their first time all three of them playing together. Let's just see how that goes. But I am still concerned about who the hell going to play defense, because they traded some of their best wing and low block defenders for James Harden. So that part I am still kind of concerned about. I want to see if they're going to get it together by the time playoffs come, if all three of them still together. But
yep.
I mean, I'm not going to worry or push no panic button right now just for them three to mesh off of one game. I know it's a generic answer, but y'all know who I am. I'm not going to jump through hoops after one game or just because Kyrie wanted to help the community out, do some stuff or whatever on his personal time. That's fine. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be like a – we can't call it a Brooklyn mess yet. I just want to see how they're going to miss.
Did you watch that game, B?
Yeah.
Who was the best player on the court?
On both teams, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, both. Really,
Kevin Durant.
You didn't think Sexton outplayed Kevin Durant that game?
I mean, he busted his ass. I mean, I mean, you know, I mean, Sexton, hey, FIFO, man.
That's why you got to sign off.
Hey,
FIFO. Call him by his government name. Call him by his government name, B.
I don't know. I don't know if he was listening to you or something, but every time you kind of go ham on Sexton, when I watch him, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, what is FIFO looking at? I'm like,
I don't know either.
He said out the league. How many players do we got out the league?
Me and FIFO is usually out of eye when it comes to stuff like that. So as I'm watching them, and not just the game against Brooklyn, even like since last year before the bubble, every time FIFO was talking bad about him, I'm just thinking like, well, let me wait. I was like, maybe FIFO seeing something I'm not seeing yet. But every time I see dude play, man, he plays hard. He plays fearless. Either he's the reason why Cleveland has won a game, or he's the reason why Cleveland are still in the game. So
yeah,
I don't.
The only thing you can hate on is that rat tail. Outside of that,
yeah,
bro,
that's it. Yeah,
yes, sir. No.
Nick, 100, 100. Nick, what you got to say about it though, people? I really want to know what you got to say about that performance.
Hey,
did you see?
Hey, look. Yeah, I saw it. 15 straight, just overtime.
Think it was 20 straight, FIFO. It was 20
straight. Or 20 straight.
Shame on points. Him. God damn. What is it?
Hey,
get that man away.
I'm giving him his credit. Hey, look, if he's a friend of the show and he listens, I motivate him. Well, by all means, you know what I say? You'll be out the league tomorrow again. So hopefully you have another performance. He balled out. He balled out. I watched that. It was very impressive. And here's the thing about Colin Sexton that I do like, and what garnered his nickname here in high school, because he's a local kid to Atlanta. I can't remember the high school that he went to, but his nickname here was Young Bull. And you saw that in Alabama. Remember that game where his team fouled out and it was 3-on-5 and they almost won it. And he was like, bro, I'm not passing this. Just give me the damn ball and I'm going to go score. Yep. So he has that in him. And last night you saw it. You saw like he's one of those guys that definitely rises to the occasion, and he plays beyond his talent level, and I think that's just the thing. I don't see a lot of talent, but he just produces, you know. And sometimes you know you can just have those guys that you just personally don't see a lot in. And for me, that's him. Not saying that, you know. Sometimes I over sensationalize my words. Okay, cool. I said he was going to be out the league. Obviously, that's not a fact. You know what I'm saying? He's going to get re-upped and he's going to get paid handsomely. But with that being said, like he, you know, for me, he's not like a guy. If I was a GM, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to go get that guy. He's just not that for me, you know, and I guess it skews my perspective on him.
FIFO, you called him Pat Bev.
Wow. That can score.
Like
at times.
He only said
he's not that. Pat Bev like
be out the league, and he's Pat Bev that can score. When has Pat Bev ever went toe-to-toe with three superstars? He's probably picked their toenails, but he's never went toe-to-toe.
Look. I've been off before. You know, I really like Johnny Flynn in the draft. Where's Johnny Flynn? I'm just saying, people don't pick him 1,000 now.
We still waiting on that Nuggets pick.
Yeah.
that was way off, FIFO.
Okay.
Now, he went to I think he went to two high schools. He went to Hillgrove High School in Powder Spring, Georgia, and then he transferred to Pebble Brook High School in Mableton.
Bet. I didn't know you played at Hillgrove. That's my brother's both of my brothers' alma mater.
Mm. He gonna see you.
He gonna make a home visit.
Yep. Regarding back to the Nets, man. I'm siding with B on this. I do need to wait and see. It's only one game, but I'll tell you what I did see. I saw Kyrie put up what damn near 30 shots, 40 shots.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah,
28 shots.
And it seemed like he was trying to establish his
dominance.
Yeah. He was KD got the most, I think, where they had equal shots, and Kyrie was making sure he was gonna get his and not lose his shots to James Harden. That could very well be the flow of the game. That's why I need to just watch and see what's going on. Maybe Kyrie had to put up those shots. Maybe he's trying to establish himself in terms of the pecking order. I don't know. In terms of his absence, I think he gave the best answer he could. Personal business, blah, blah, blah. Get people off your back. Leave you alone. Whatever. That's cool. Kyle said, shout out to Kyle, that he talked to his teammate. So that's the only thing that really mattered to them. And then shouldn't really matter to us that much because those are who we got to play with every day. So if they buy it, then that's on them. But I saw enough to put them on my radar for concern to just watch. Just watch. It's a wait and see. Are they going to get it together? Are they going to fall apart? Mm-hmm. And that's it. So I'm not going to cast any judgments just yet. But I do know that they were 2-0 without Kyrie, and they 0-1 with Kyrie. So, hey, I'm going to just leave it at that.
He just came back.
He sure did. And Harden just got on the team, and they won, didn't he?
Yeah, I know. Again, big threes don't, you know, they don't just happen overnight. They need a long time to cook. I think it's a good thing for Kyrie to be back because that was the whole plan when it comes to the reinvented, the new age Brooklyn Nets, like to have this big trio to finally compete. Mm-hmm. I loved his tenacity coming off because I think it wasn't more so for me. You looked at it as dominance for the team. I just looked at it as more of a justification, like I'm still Kyrie Irving. Like y'all kept on bitching in the media. Y'all must have forgot who I am. I get buckets. And I think it was just reminding the league, like, my presence is still, you know, heavily felt around mm-hmm. the league, especially on this team. I think also the reason why he was trying to score so much is because they were outside of KD and Harden, who else is there really going to put up points?
Joe Harris?
Joe Harris. Yeah, I was about to say that. But he's coming off the bench, though.
Joe Harris is good for about 8 to 12 points per game.
They giving him the green light, bro.
Who else got the green light? Ain't nobody else on that team. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, they're going to have to divvy up these points. Somebody's going to have to come off the bench is where I'm getting to. Mm. And I think I would probably, for chemistry sake, I would say Harden should come off the bench.
I'm only saying this
for chemistry as far as like to make the team actually work to where Kyrie don't get pissed off because Kyrie ain't coming off the bench.
And Harris is like instant buckets. Like you give him the green light, he can quietly put up a 20-point game on you off the bench easily.
He could, but you're not counting on that every game.
He's not a guy you don't want to leave open.
But his points are inconsistent because he doesn't get quality.
Here's the thing, Nick. You're counting points, and the thing is that you gotta count the shots and what those players do and why certain guys are specialists. The reason why I disagree with y'all. Joe Harris should start. It should be Kyrie, James Harden, Harris, KD, and DeAndre Jordan. And the reason why is because Joe Harris provides gravity, meaning that even if he went 0-3, the scouting report says you still guard that man and you don't allow him an open look because he's a career 40%+ three-point shooter. So when you put him out there with obviously the big three that can do whatever they want to do offensively, you can't help off of that guy. That's a tough help. And he's not just a knockdown shooter. He's a more athletic. Who's the lefty out of Utah that I love? What's his name?
Joe Ingles.
He's just like Joe Ingles, but you know what? Honestly, they're probably about as athletic. And they're crafty around the basket. I'm not saying that this guy is going to beat you off the dribble and none of that, but off of a pump fake, one dribble, two dribble into the lane, finish with the left or the right, he could do that. And you have to guard him. So he provides the spacing necessary.
My thing isn't really about Joe Ingles. It's about the fact, I mean, Joe Harris. Yeah. It's not about him. FIFO, the lineup you mentioned, that is their best lineup. But also to your point with what you always say is that it's not about who starts, it's about who finishes. Just because I'm saying Harden comes off the bench don't mean he ain't getting no minutes. And I'm only saying that because if their starting five has all their best players, who the fuck is coming off the bench? If you want to win a title, you're going to have bench point. You got to have somebody off the bench.
But you're asking people who are already making a sacrifice of giving up points to give up their starting position.
If you want to win a title, that shit don't matter. If you want to win a title, that shit don't matter. Especially if it's coming from James Harden.
That's creative thinking, but it's never going to happen with superstars. They're never going to go. Most guys, you saw what happened when Paul George was asked to come off the bench. He went crazy. So what would these guys who in their prime, really playing great.
And how much has Paul George won? How much has Paul George won?
None, but my point is they're not willing to. They're not going to be willing to do that.
My main point is that this is what I'm saying would work for chemistry's sake. They're not going to obviously do that because they paying these motherfuckers too much money and they're superstars. But I'm saying for this team, for me to think that it'll work, somebody has to come off the bench to where, but also someone has to manage this team because we can see there's a lot of egos, a lot of emotions. There's a lot of motherfuckers who just don't give a fuck about them to a certain extent about the team because they're willing to do whatever they got to do to make themselves feel comfortable. But to me, Harden has come off the bench before. Harden is the point guard in my eyes of this team. So I wouldn't mind seeing some creative ways with that. But of course, they're going to have the lineup that probably FIFO has 9 times out of 10.
But you know,
FIFO, that real quick, that lineup you suggested, it's like you said, like Nick said earlier, that is the best lineup, but not the best to start. Joe Harris can get you 17 to 20 points in any given night, even up to 25. I mean, that's your firepower off the bench. Because they have nothing else coming off the bench with that type of ability to shoot and create. So that's why you let him come off the bench. They started, I think, Jeff Green the first game. Landry Shamet could start. Just run with a three-guard lineup. Let Landry start. Because I like Landry, and he can shoot. He can stand out there and shoot threes all day. But you keep Joe Harris because he can get buckets. Keep him on the bench because you have nothing else on that bench to come off and score.
But here's the problem. And I don't know if Steve Nash is here yet, but obviously D'Antoni's his lead assistant. But you have a big three, and you can stagger minutes, meaning that one of the big three or two out of the big three is going to play more with bench guys. So even though you may not have a bench, and the Joe Harris thing, you're 100% right. You can start Jeff Green if you want to. You know what I'm saying? And that's offense for defense and versatility. So, and obviously with Kyrie and James Harden on the court, you more want more defense, right? So if you want to start Jeff Green, that's cool. But at the end of the day, it's really about managing the minutes and when they play. You know, obviously all three of those guys are going to finish the game together. But throughout the game, you got to have one or two of those superstars with bench guys in the game. You know, like one of your guys always got to be in the game. And if you can't manage that, then you shouldn't even be a head coach, honestly.
Right, and that's what I was saying. Like Joe is your staggered guy. So when one of them is on the court, Joe is that secondary player that can be on the court with them on that bench group. So that's why I like that. I like that lineup. But to answer that question, I think it hurts that he's back. Kyrie taking the most shots, which you know it's only one game, a small sample size, and they can't get it together still. But I like the way things were going with James Harden setting it up more for Kevin Durant to get those buckets and James Harden do what he need to do first through third, Kevin Durant in the fourth. Now it's kind of like who's going to do what. Also with three guys who can, you know, create off the dribble and do their own thing, you get a lot of standing around and watching that's going to happen. And it's kind of like, okay, let's see what I'm going to do. This is my possession. Next one coming out is my possession. It's not really like the ball is not moving enough to have three of those type guys on the court at the same time. So that's what's scary to me. When it's two, it can kind of work out. But when it's three of them out there, it's just like, let's watch them. You know, y'all play video games with packed lineups. It's like whoever got the ball at the moment, that's the one I'm going to go with. And I'm going to let him do his thing and go. And I think that's kind of what happened. A lot of standing around watching the person with the ball and seeing what they're going to make happen. And that will cost them ultimately in the end.
What you think, Manny? I asked the question if Kyrie coming back is a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, already the discussion is they got to make alterations to their lineup and who's coming off the bench and who's starting. Like, that already tells me this thing is not going to work, right? Like, we're already talking about trying to figure out pieces and trying to adjust puzzle pieces that may not fit. Like, that already kind of answers your question right there. I mean, honestly, what we see from the Nets now, I'm kind of like Beasy. It's like, we'll wait and see. I mean, what we see today from the Nets doesn't really matter. To me, the Nets are a April, May, June experiment. How do they look in April, May, and June? Because that's what this team is built for. So anything that you see right now is kind of, we'll wait and see. I mean, Kyrie's played one game. I know he took, 30-plus shots or whatever, something like that.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. Like, I don't know what that tells me. The issue with the Nets, again, man, from a basketball perspective, is like Kyrie and James Harden are kind of redundant. They're the same player. You can make the case that Kyrie is James Harden light, but they're essentially the same player. They basically have the same skill set. You could argue James probably is a better distributor of the basketball, probably a better quote-unquote point guard. You can have that discussion, but honestly, they're kind of the same player, and they really don't add anything to each other's game. So to me, it's kind of a redundancy on the court. So to me is ultimately going to be the problem for them, is that they're too much of the same. I mean, it's kind of a similar situation to the Clippers and Kawhi and Paul George. That's why I don't think they'll fit. Ultimately, that experiment's not going to work, because Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are basically the same player. They have the same skill set. And I don't think they fit on the basketball court. It's too much of my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. And that's what I'm going to see with this Nets team. Like, it's just essentially going to be my turn, your turn, my turn. I mean, very few nights where you'll have all three of them just balling out together. Somebody's going to have to sacrifice shots, right? Because there's only so many attempts that you can have in a game. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm kind of giving you a staggered answer right now, but I don't know.
Manny, I disagree. When KD went to the Warriors, did Steph take less shots? Did Klay take less shots? I think there was an adjustment period. And I think Steph, being the type of superstar he is, you visibly saw him just kind of pull back a little bit to ingratiate KD. But once they was rolling, they all got they shots. And I'm not saying that the Nets are the Golden State. They don't have that system. They don't have that type of flow. But I think that they can work, mainly because KD works anywhere. It doesn't matter the system. KD is going to be efficient. He's not going to need a whole bunch of dribbles. You could put him in spots. You could play off of him. So because of that, I think that they can make it work.
Yeah, but with you're bringing up KD, like KD works in any system. KD is the damn system. Like he's just that dude. My issue is James Harden and Kyrie Irving, and everybody likes to bring up the Warriors, right, as an example, right? And my thing is, like, the Warriors, first of all, like you said, they were just a different breed. That system, they had already won. It was already an infrastructure already in place. Plus, Steph and Klay specifically, those are two stars that are like uniquely unselfish. Like their games, they can translate in any system and they're adaptable. I don't know if adaptability is the key word here. Are Harden and Kyrie adaptable players? Are they guys that are going to be able to change their games to a lesser extent to kind of throw the overall problem? And I just don't see that.
See, that's where we disagree. I don't think they have to change their game. Why do they have to change their game? Because KD is the fluid that makes all of the joints work correctly, right? Because you can't talk about Kyrie and James Harden without talking about KD. Like, it's a trio of them. And the reason why James Harden and Kyrie could work offensively, defensively, we know it's going to be a mess. Right. We know those two guys don't play defense worth a damn. It is what it is. But offensively, these guys can play together because both of them can catch and shoot. Both of them can chill in the corner and the ball gets swung to them. They can make that three. They can also create and distribute off the dribble. And they both want to attack the basket, meaning that they're going to get fouls because now you got the number one and typically like the number 10 to 15 free throw attempt shooter in the NBA. So now if you got all three of your main guys getting the other team in foul trouble and getting in the bonus, that's advantage Nets. And that's something that as a coaching staff, you got to continue to milk. So I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I'm not going to say it's just going to, it's going to pass the eye test. But what I'm saying is these three guys can coexist. And it's going to be very hard for a lot of teams to outscore those three guys.
Here's what I'll say. I remember when Kyrie said that he can look over across the court and say to himself, see that motherfucker can hit that shot too. Did he didn't hit it last night either, did he?
You keep bringing that up.
I'm just kidding.
We less than 20 games.
What's next, Nick?
the next thing we got, we're going to talk about a hometown team, Ken.
Let's do it.
FIFO's favorite squad. Even talking about this.
Going to the playoffs this year.
Hey, I'm still trying to figure out if he was right about that trade.
We're right about the trade.
But
Luka trash.
Are the Atlanta Hawks in trouble?
Yes, I want to start this. See, on this show, I see things that often people don't see, and it takes a while for them to catch up. The Hawks have issues, and the issues are John Collins and Trae Young. They have a Trae Young issue.
Trae Young issue. Their best player.
Trae Young issue. Not his talent, but the fact that he's too talented. He's too damn good of a scorer, and all he wants to do is score. Even though he gets a lot of assists, I'm not knocking that part of it, but it feels like, based on the comments that John Collins has said, ever since he said that, they've been kind of in a slump, and they haven't looked right. They have some chemistry issues going on with that team. I think it's centered around Trae Young wanting to take every damn shot there is on the court. When you have all of these talented people on the court, that means the coach going to have to step in, and maybe some people above him going to have to step in and kind of start to rectify that, because if they don't, John Collins is going to get out of there. So when you guys got like Hooter and Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, all of these guys can score the rock. Bogdanović, I mean, they are loaded. And it seems like Trae Young want to put up 40 shots a game. You got to keep these other guys happy, man. John Collins, and you got to be able to score inside and out. So that's what I think the issue is. I think they have some chemistry issues. I think the way they were playing early on when it was young and everybody was winning and having fun, you know, that wasn't that big of a deal. But now that they're losing and guys are now starting to look at, hey, man, well, if we lose him, but maybe I could have did a little bit more if I had a little bit more touches or whatever. I think that is a problem. I feel like that is a problem. They have chemistry issues, and if they don't get that settled, either the coach is going to be gone or they're going to start moving some pieces. Because right now it feels like they have too much talent.
Okay. Having too much talent is never a bad thing. Knowing what to do with that talent can sometimes overwhelm some people. Remember when Dell Harris inherited that Shaq, Eldon Campbell,
Van Axel, Kobe, Eddie Jones.
He didn't know what to do with that. He was overwhelmed with that. I'm not going to disrespect this next coach that I bring up, but this was that transition and why it was needed at the time that it happened. Again, I'm going to use Golden State. When they had Mark Jackson, they looked a lot like what the Hawks do right now. Very pick and roll heavy, you know what I'm saying? Ball a lot of Steph Curry's hand, not a lot of ball movement. And that's what they look like right now. And what the Hawks are going to need is going to be their Steve Kerr. Because you're 100% right, Ken. Trae Young is taking 4 more shots, but shooting 6 percentage points less from the field this season. Mm-hmm. So he's less efficient this year. And the way that the offense is currently constructed, it's all predicated off of Trae Young. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But when you have talent the way that you have talent, you got to utilize that talent. They're not utilizing the skill sets of the talent that they've been able to acquire. So in my opinion, their current coach, I know his last name is Lloyd. I'm always bad with the names. Y'all know that.
Lloyd Pierce.
I definitely think his time is going to be up because I think he's gotten this roster as far as he could take them. They're gonna need a guy a la Don Nelson, a la the good son in Boston, you know, somebody like that, that D'Antoni, somebody that's gonna preach that ball movement. Well, not D'Antoni, I'll take that back.
I'm about to say who?
Yeah, I'm tripping. But just Steve somebody Kirk. That's gonna preach that ball movement, player movement, and getting shots. Because here's the thing. When you look at, like when Trae was coming into the league, I said he's going to be very Steph Curry-like. And he is. But the reason why Steph Curry is even more dangerous is because he plays off the ball. The more off the ball he plays, the more dangerous he is. And that's what they got to start doing with Trae. Trae got to start playing more off the ball and putting the ball in other people's hands to make those plays, still looking for Trae, but also being able to dominate their matchup. And that's what they're not doing. When I watch them, Ken, they're still fun and exciting, and you see glimpses of like, oh, shit. They got a lot of shoot. They got a lot of a lot, but it's like it's rarely unleashed at the highest level. Like, they're not playing at a high level. So yes, the chemistry is definitely an issue. And I think that that falls at the feet of the coach.
Maybe now that Rondo's coming back, Trey can play off the ball a little bit. You think they can play together before in the backcourt?
I think they can play a little bit together. But I think it depends on the matchup too. I don't think you can just do that every game. But I think depending on what you need and what the matchup is, I think you can do that.
Because in my opinion, the struggles are coming. He's played point his whole life, so he doesn't know anything else but playing on ball. But he's shooting 39% from the field and 29% from three. So let's clear up that Steph thing right now, because that ain't Steph. But that's the real reason.
He's shooting for his career. What's his career? He's having a bad start. Yeah,
he's having a rough start.
Okay.
But that right there is really what's killing him, is because you need him to be instant offense and make these shots. Cause without that, there's really no way for this team to win. And they are battling some injuries. That plays a big part of it too. Losing Gallinari hurts big time. And we just have to see if they can rebound and get it together. John Collins, I don't think he's the answer. For some reason, I just don't. I like John Collins. Don't get me wrong. I just don't like him with this team. They need more of a bruiser defender type down there, I would think.
I think he's perfect for this team. I think it's what Ken said. It's like, you can't keep – the Hawks are clearly trying to rebuild through the draft. They're trying to do the Golden State Warriors. They obviously have their – you know, if Steph is Coke, they got the Pepsi version of Steph with Trey. And then obviously they got the other guys as well. John Collins is someone who is averaging some really good average. He's a top five center in my book, or big man. And Trey has to learn how to play with others. That's simple what it is. Every superstar has to figure that out. How do you play well with others? How do you get your teammates up? How do you help people develop and grow? Every star that we've seen in this league has had to come to that moment in their career. Either they step up to it or they don't. And Trey has to step up is by stepping back. He has to let his other teammates flourish, because clearly taking most of these shots don't really help him win games. I mean, when they played Portland, he took 23 shots. He was 7 for 23. They lost that game. When they played the Knicks, he took 22 shots. He was 9 for 22. They lost that game. So it's not like granted, there's other games that he's won with taking multiple shots, but they have more L's than wins at this point. So they need to start really taking themselves seriously as a playoff team in order to move forward. And by that, winning basketball, just like how we talked about with the Nets, somebody gonna have to sacrifice. And it's usually one of your stars. So to me, if they don't make the playoffs, or if they're even lower than a seventh seed, I would think that that's a little disappointing for this season, because the East is really wide open. The Knicks are eighth seed, so they should be higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. Mm-hmm. Hey, and if you're calling Steph Coke, then you got to call Trae Young this year Special K, because he ain't no Pepsi.
You talking about Big K? He's Coca Fred.
Trae Young has the same issue we had in college, man. He's a volume shooter, volume scorer, doesn't really make anybody better. I mean, I don't know why anybody's really surprised. Like, if you saw him in Oklahoma, this is Trae Young. Like, he is who he is. Like, to me, everybody compares him to Steph Curry. Like, he's kind of Kyrie a la Cleveland before LeBron got there, where he's a guy that could get buckets. He's an incredible talent, but does he really make anybody better? Does his style of play really translate to wins? I would say no, so... Honestly, I'm not shocked. I don't know why everybody's so shocked. I think the Hawks were supremely overrated coming into the season. Like, they have talent, but they're still very young too. So, I don't know. To me, it's kind of par for the course with the Hawks, man. Like, I just feel like they are what they are, and they do have a Trae Young problem. He doesn't make people better.
Yeah, definitely a Trae Young problem.
What you think about it, B?
Yeah, I think my issue with Trae is he take too many sometimes unnecessary shots. Like when he starting to get down the stretch, sometimes a lot of times them unnecessary shots are just as bad as turnovers. Like, you know, it's a bad shot is damn near pretty much like a turnover. So sometimes Trae get a little bit too trigger happy, you know, just because, you know, he's got the range. But sometimes it's like, yo, Trae, you can't. You can't do that. That's why he's not no Steph. Like, he's nowhere near a Steph. Like, only we don't say that about Steph. We can say that about Trey, because Trey has definitely taken some bad shots or some unnecessary shots where you're like, okay, see, you could have worked the ball this way. You could have did this. Y'all could have worked this off better. But he doesn't. And sometimes I feel like he don't even run the offense. He just come like, look, okay, they leave me up. They give me another space. Hey, I'm Trey Young. Bam, I didn't hit three early in the first half. They let me open this much. So I think his shot selection has to be better, you know, especially as a point guard. And if you're going to be a high volume shooting point guard, you definitely got to take better. You got to have better shot selections. And I think that's why the frustration of Collins and maybe some other teammates that we just probably haven't heard about. It's just Collins was the only one to be vocal about it. You know, sometimes when guys be vocal about it in the locker room, he might be vocal for himself and two or three other teammates. You know what I'm saying? That we don't know about. So
facts.
Yeah, that's just my only thing about that. I think just watching the games that I think the three or four games I watched a little bit of the game last night when they played the Pistons. They came back on the Pistons, but it's the Pistons. That was expected for them to choke that game. But yeah, like that game, I watched some other games in December, a few games in the month of December, and like, yeah, Trey was just taking some unnecessary shots. I try to like chalk it up as like, okay, well, they haven't played ball since March. Maybe they didn't have a real preseason. So, you know, like a real lengthy training camp preseason. So maybe, you know, I'm trying to give a little bit of leeway for them, because I know it's sometimes some of that stuff can kind of be hard on you mentally and physically. But just from what I've seen, Trey got to have better shot selections, man, especially if you're a high volume point guard, man. Like Steph can do it. You know what I'm saying? Even that in spurts, Kyrie can do it too, because he's a high volume point guard, a shooting point guard. So, yeah, sometimes Trey, man, he'd be like I watched the game and I'd just be like, he make me do this. Cause if I was out there on the court, I'd be like, oh my God, like what you doing, dude? Like, come on. Like, you know, sometimes you might hit it sometimes. And then sometimes, man, it just be broke. And then the teams come back and they start making runs. And then you're looking at Trey like, yo, man, you gotta stop taking these ill-advised shots. So yeah, that's my issue with the Hawks. Other than that, man, I think they've been doing a good job of rebuilding through the draft. They got the right pieces. Mm-hmm. And I want to give that coach at least another one more year. I want to give Pierce.
How long has he been there?
Nah, man.
How long has he been there?
It's the second year.
Second year?
I want to give him another. Give a coach about three, four years. I think that's a good little beginning. If you don't see any improvement by that third year, going into fourth year, then you got to kind of reevaluate some things. But I'm going to still give Pierce a chance. You know what I'm saying? Because even this offseason, going from last season and into this, it's just been weird. Like, I feel like he really haven't really had a full training camp, really, because of COVID. And then, you know, when he got drafted his guys that he want to get, he hasn't had a full training camp and a full session with him yet. So I'm going to give him another year or two, man, before I start calling for his job.
Damn, nah.
So this is Trey's second coach?
Yeah.
He's been there since 2018.
That's what I was going to say. Like, to me, it's all about
this is 30. Maybe
a top seven seed in the playoffs, preferably six or higher. And can they win at least a couple games in that series? They may not even need to win the series, but just can they win a couple games to show
progression? What was the Hawks record when he first got there?
Probably trash. To get all those picks, I'm sure it was.
So I think that, I mean, if that's the case, then yeah, they kind of going in the right. If they end up being like a six seed in the East or five, I think that might be pretty good. I mean, going from where they started from when Pierce took over, I mean, that's improvement. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they were a 20 win season team, you know, two or three seasons ago, and now you a playoff team, because, you know, usually in that case, that means you're going to have a winning record. Most cases, if you're a playoff team, you got to win a record. So, yeah, I think that's kind of – I can't call for his job yet, especially if they end up placing that high in the East.
Yeah, let me give you the record. So, in 2018, he was 29-53. In 2019, he was 20-47 in a shortened season because it's dated for the season. So he hasn't won 30 games yet, but he has way more talent than he's had in the first – couple of years.
Right. He's got
veteran talent. It might be time to get him out of the paint.
If you make the playoffs with that, I mean, what's wrong with that?
He, you know what he is? He's going to be the classic case. And he's the coach that sets everything up, but he's not going to be the guy that ultimately finished cooking the dinner.
And I think Yeah.
He might be. I didn't know he was there for 3 years.
Mark Jackson.
Like he's been. I wouldn't even say he's a Mark Jackson. Like,
no, I'm just saying, like, based off your example.
Right, my example. Yeah. It might be time for him to get out of the paint, man. I mean, if they're still this much, I'm gonna use dysfunction for lack of a better word, but if they're still this much surrounding that team and kind of their overall growth, then yeah, he may not be the guy.
Well, you got to be a leader of men. B, you are absolutely right. John Collins was speaking for himself and a bunch of other people because he is the veteran on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the clout to come out and say something.
Yeah.
Whereas others couldn't because they're young or they just got there. So what else you got?
Huh? I'm about to say, and you 6'10". I ain't scared of no motherfucker, especially this little Elder Bar. I'm gonna stick my piece, especially if I'm putting up buckets too.
We'll be back after this quick break.
But since we're speaking on young talent, let's talk about the rookies.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if y'all prepare for this. We can still come back to it as we, you know, the season goes on, but just get y'all thoughts on some of the rookies. I got the rookie ladder so far.
So who you got from the Knicks?
I got the hoodie on right now. You know we get to it. You know what I mean? I'm out
here. Ready. He ready.
Go New York. Go New York. Go. It's funny. The only reason why I brought this up, not because of Emmanuel Quickly, who y'all need to go check out, but
oh yeah, he's nice.
I'm interested to see how this young talent develops during these times and who's sticking out. Because like I said before the draft, I felt like there's going to be a lot of, just like in the NBA and the NFL draft that had happened and what's going to happen, there's going to be a lot of steals because you don't have that same offseason scouting and all the other shit. Like people are just going to go off of what happened last year and what they saw this year. But LaMelo Ball, Shelton, is pretty much looking like the lead of the Rookie of the Year candidate. He's averaging right now, I think, 12 points, almost 7 rebounds and 6 assists with almost 2 steals. So that's pretty good for Charlotte. Tyrese.
What'd you say, Ken? Wait, ho. What'd you say, Ken?
Said it's all right.
Stop hating, Ken.
Ken, that man is number one in almost every statistical category of rookie.
On the Hornets. So,
it don't matter where he played.
Brent Hill was the man for the whack ass Pistons when he played.
He get more.
It don't matter where they go.
He to everybody else, man. That's all it is.
Off the bench.
Grant Hill was a different breed, though, man. You can't say that.
Ken's point. He's saying like on the Charlotte Hornets, like that's a bad team. You know what I'm saying? Pistons was whack as hell too.
Since we on LaMelo, he can pass. He can pass. You know, I think he'll definitely get better. I think he's going to be better than his brother, who's probably going to be out the league in like 8 years, in 3 years.
Out the league? I say two.
Bro, I don't think Sam Van Gundy. I'm just saying, man. Okay, I'm being hyperbolic, B. But I think his career is in jeopardy.
Let's keep the focus on where it's supposed to be. Has Melo exceeded your expectations, yes or no?
No, not yet. No.
Yeah, he hasn't for me either. He's looked good, but he hasn't exceeded expectations because shit, he ain't even starting yet. So to me,
he will be starting soon.
Yeah.
In a bit.
Once you know. He's met the expectation for me.
As a number three overall?
Yeah, he's done what I thought he would do. Like, he hasn't exceeded it. He hasn't disappointed. He's kind of just done what I thought he would do. Like,
this man had a lot of hype coming in. Like, they sold this motherfucker.
Like Lonzo. They made it seem like he was going to change the league.
People on this show.
That's not how he came in.
They said he was the number one pick when he was in high school.
Lonzo had more hype than
he was. Yes, very much so. He didn't have a lot of hype like that. I mean, they say he's going to be good, but he didn't have the hype like he was going to change the league.
Quit bullshitting, man. Just because he on Charlotte don't mean you got to bullshit, bro. Real talk.
That's true. They never said that.
They said he was better than Lonzo. How can you have more hype than that?
He probably is.
He is better than Lonzo.
They ain't saying
I'm not ready to go there yet.
He's better than Lonzo. If he's averaging 12, 7, and 6, he's better than Lonzo at the same point.
The game is more looks more natural to him than Lonzo. Lonzo's a point guard. I don't know what LaMelo is, but
LaMelo's trying to be a scorer. I could tell that. He wants to score.
Lonzo, he's got more physical talent than Lonzo, but I feel like Lonzo's better defensively. That's not even an argument. And I feel like Lonzo's more of a natural point than LaMelo is. So I think that that's something that favors Lonzo. Lonzo, I know we want to bring him up, but that's a different conversation for a different day. But now for me, LaMelo has kind of just met his expectations. Like he is what he is for me. Like I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. If you read off his stats, and if you would have told me that at the beginning of the year LaMelo is going to be averaging 12 points, whatever, I'd be like, yeah, that's pretty much what I would have expected. To me, the guy that to me, I think he's the best player in the draft. To me, is Wiseman. I mean, Wiseman, you could just tell he hasn't put up the numbers just yet. Wiseman is a beast, bro.
Wiseman is nice. But he got a long way to go.
He's impressing me right now, and he's on a different type of team, so obviously he's still growing and maturing. He's so young too. To me, Wiseman has the most upside of anybody in this draft. Like Wiseman has a chance to be special. Like I've watched a lot of their games, and even the games that he's quote unquote has struggles or hasn't really put up the numbers, he still does something that makes you say like, wow, like that dude.
He flashes. He averages 11 and 6, but he's not. When you talk about impact, we talking about a guy that's averaging 12, 7, and 6. He's and when you talk about Lonzo, Lonzo's not averaging. He's averaging less points, less assists, and less rebounds. And he plays.
But this isn't about Lonzo. This is about rookie. This is about the rookie.
And back to the rookies. And I was gonna bring him back to Wiseman too. Wiseman has a very inconsistent game. He's talented now. He'll show flashes, but he's really, really inconsistent. Like on any given night, he can show up or not. Whereas, like I said, you can't argue with Lonzo. The man's been playing ball. He's been playing ball almost every game, except for those first couple. He's gonna come out and do something good. And he's not getting the minutes that these guys are getting either. And he's doing more in less minutes.
More and less minutes. And when you look at his per 36 numbers, they're ridiculous. And here's the thing I love about LaMelo, and I said this earlier when Ken started trying to call out LaMelo. You could tell LaMelo's not forcing nothing. LaMelo's allowing everything to come to him. He's not playing like he's the best player on the team, but it looks like he's the best player on the team because that's how talented he is, because he is the most talented player on that team. And I do think that he...
You haven't watched the games if you say that. He's forced some shit. Did you not see that Pelicans game? He tried to force that triple-double?
Even the coaches have come out and said they have to slow him down. So, yeah, that's not
he's not. By far, he's not. He's not perfect. Once again, he is a rookie. But when you talk about overall ability and what he's done on the court when he's been able to play, he's been better than all of them, head and shoulders. It's not even close. 100%. The second best player is Quickly. We're going to get to him in a second, I hope.
I like Anthony Edwards. I like Anthony Edwards out of Minnesota.
Oh, he's nice too.
Yeah, I like
one player at a time. Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Shelton and Manny's skipping the Lou.
They just want to get to their boys.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I'm into your boy, Nick. I'm sorry.
Finish what you were saying, people.
But yeah, LaMelo, man, I really like the impact. And he's honestly exceeded my expectation, not from a numbers perspective, because the numbers are on par with what I expected. But when I watch him play in the passes and the vision and everything that he does, it looks easier than I thought it would for him at this point in time. And that's scary. That's really scary, because this is the first time that he's seeing guys for the first time ever. He's able to compete at that level. So once he gets more of a feel, gets the tape, gets the routine down even more, I think that's the reason why I think he has the highest ceiling in this draft. I love Wiseman, but I love y'all already know how I feel about Anthony Edwards, but neither one of them has IQ in the way that LaMelo does. And that IQ, that's what unlocks everything. That's what makes your potential limitless. Because now you're affecting the game without even having to score the basketball. And he's going to become even more efficient at that.
I just got a text. I got a text from a pro point guard that's actually played, not in the league, but has played the game at the professional level. He said, point guard is the hardest, most difficult position for a rookie. And for Melo to be doing what he's doing in a grown man league obviously shows he has the best upside.
Yep, 100%.
You just text that to yourself, nigga. Like, who you got ready to say that? I need names.
In reserve. That nigga had it in reserve. Pull this one out.
Nah, but I think LaMelo was gonna be fine. I wasn't like kid who said he was a bust coming out. But I'm not really that impressed because I've seen this movie before. I've seen a ball brother get hyped up. I've even seen Magic Johnson himself say this motherfucker is the future of my franchise to then trade his ass. And now he'd be almost out the league in about 2-3 years. I'm not saying that's the same case with LaMelo. I think he's much more talented offensively and more aggressively than his older brother. However, the mentality thing is what I'm really concerned about. He needs the right coach to hone him in. Oh, I was thinking maybe I'm hoping that since Jordan is Jordan's team and he drafted him, I don't know if he's behind the draft still or not, but I'm hoping that he can talk to him a little bit more and be like, look, bro, this is how you play basketball, especially after watching that Jordan documentary. I think that surprised a lot of people about how hands-on he was with his teammates, even the ones that you wouldn't think he would talk to. So I think he should talk to the young boy and hopefully coach him up. But I think he is a point guard for the future, but it's just that he hasn't exceeded my expectations yet. He got an average.
They have, and once again, we're going to get off this soon, but they have different, those two, him and Lonzo are two different people. Their personalities are different. Their mindset is different. The level of confidence that they have is different. He's just a totally different guy. And I think Lonzo coming first is what's going to help Melo be a better player. Because he's seen it before too. So he did not have as much hype coming out as Lonzo. So he didn't have that type of pressure. And the fact that he gets to come off the bench behind two pretty good point guards. He gets to see the game and it slows down. And he's playing ball, man. Like I said, you can't argue with those numbers. Because, you know,
Lonzo came out with all that hype. Remember, that was when LeVar was on every damn media show every damn day, it felt like. You know, you had cats cats in the league gunning for him from the jump. LaMelo hasn't had to face that. So, and not to mention, like, people don't bring this up. Like, the fact that he got drafted number two overall by the Lakers, his favorite franchise team he grew up rooting and idolizing, like, an L.A. kid playing for the Lakers, number two overall, like, looked at as the savior. Like, that was a lot of things that LaMelo has not had to face. So, yeah, I think LaMelo is in a good situation for himself as far as not having all that pressure that I think Lonzo's had.
As far as what y'all was saying about Wiseman, I think he's impressive. I think he's still slow. I think he was shocked that he was able to go to Golden State. Not to say that he was shocked about his draft position, but just like, oh, I'm on a championship caliber team or environment and culture. I really have to, you know, showcase my talent because everybody else here been there, done that, and they expect nothing but the best from me. So I think his up and down trajectory is just fine because that's what rookies do, especially when you have, like, this is a big year for Golden State and they want to see what everybody got, including him. So I'm not really worried about him. I think we'll see more of what he actually is in his second year, sophomore year, than this year.
Plus Golden State's trying to win games. They're trying to make the playoffs. Like, Golden State's not in a situation like Charlotte where they're trying to develop players necessarily. Like, Golden State's in a situation where, like, yo, we got one of the top five point guards still in his prime. Like, we trying to win. So it's going to be in a situation like if Wiseman was on the Knicks or if Wiseman was somewhere else where he could get the playing time and the energy and the run to just say, yo, we need this big man to just develop, then it'd be a different situation. But the fact that he's looked that impressive in that situation to me bodes well for him because he's been impressive to me anyway.
I'm going to give a shout out to a couple of other players that are rookies right now that are balling right now. Tyrese Halliburton, Sacramento, averaging 11 points, almost 3 rebounds, 5 assists a game, almost over a steal. Shout out to the rookie. I think Sacramento's lightweight building up something too still.
They got to get rid of the coach.
Is De'Aaron Fox and him playing well together?
I think Halliburton comes off the bench. I haven't had a chance to watch him play, but everybody talks highly of him. So
we'll watch the Sacramento.
That's why I was leaving it up to Ken. I was just going to move on, but he has something to say. Like, that's the expert in this one.
No, I'm not.
He does come on the bench, though.
I'm not watching him play. So, but I'm curious to see him play because everybody keep, you know, singing his praises. So I want to see what the young boy got.
And of course, you know, I'm going to have to talk about my boy.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel Quickly. Well, hey, IQ. That's what they call him already. He got a nickname. You know how we in New York, we come up with nicknames quick.
IQ?
IQ.
Okay.
Man, steal of the draft. I'm going to say it right now. Steal the fucking draft. Nice.
So, Nick, he doesn't start. So, what's up with that? Why is he not starting?
He's the steal of the draft, meaning that you didn't expect him. So, he's going to start. I would say he'll start quicker than Melo.
Plus, the Knicks got like 45 damn point guards on that damn team.
I'm arguing in your defense though, because like I said, I like Quickly. That boy balling, and he should be starting. But that's the same thing I'm talking about.
You know how Tibbs is. He only likes vets. He doesn't, and he'll run them into the ground when it comes to minutes. I'm surprised that he's given Quickly so many minutes, but I'm also shocked that he only averages like less than 18 minutes per game, and his averages so far, and he should get more minutes. Yeah, it was just 10 points a game, 2 assists, but it's getting better. No, and he barely turns the ball over. Like, I think over the last 5 games, he averages like 17, 5, and something else. Like,
and he does a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. His floater for a rookie is on point. Like, it seems like it's unstoppable. He can shoot the 3 very well. I love this kid.
I haven't watched him play because, again,
I'm still disappointed in RJ, man. I got to see more from RJ.
RJ's been balling.
He's still
inconsistent though. It's still inconsistent though. Sometimes RJ still be having some games where he'll be like,
they actually play the Golden State. They're playing them right now.
It's like the Warriors now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, so that's a good matchup between the rookies. But
now RJ got 14 in the first quarter.
Oh, does he? Damn. Well, I shut up.
Yeah, he balling his first quarter, 4 for 4, 2 for 2 from 3.
RJ will do that tonight, and then tomorrow on a back to back, he'll freaking have 9 points and that's 6 two, turnovers.
That's 2, kid. All right, Manny, you already started talking shit.
I'm a Duke guy. That's what I'm saying. Like, I expect more
shit about my niggas. Like, come on.
Okay, I'm saying this because I'm an RJ fan. Obviously, he part of the brotherhood. What school do you go to? That's what I'm saying.
Shit, I don't know. Shit, it don't sound like you're an alumni. God damn it.
Ain't too many brothers at Duke. So. I would call it a brotherhood.
That's a brotherhood right there, baby.
Has anybody watching Orlando since Fultz went down? Because
so Edwards hit that shot.
Man, he hit it last night.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What school he went to, Manny?
Carolina Community College.
But
Carolina AT&T or whatever.
I haven't had a chance to really watch a lot of the rookies this year the way I used
to. Cole, check out for Cole Anthony. He's averaging like 10 points a game, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. So he may
– Cole's a hooper, man. I don't think anybody doubted that. Cole's a hooper, man. If you watched him in high school and college, Cole's a hooper. You know, the only mistake he made was he chose the wrong school, like, honestly.
And he started. And not to go back, but like I said, when we look at rookies leading in points, rebounds, assists, steals, it's only one that's at the top of all those categories. And what's his name?
I've seen Tyrone Maxey. I've seen him play a lot. But I don't know what he's talking about.
I was going to say, I see.
Yeah, so, you know, I think he's going to be a good pickup for them.
I was going to say, Anthony Edwards, he ain't that bad either, right?
Hey, B, sorry to hear about Killian Hayes, man. You know.
Yeah, I mean.
Detroit can't catch a break, man. God damn, man. Something to.
Beagle, we got to call somebody for me.
Yeah.
It's a hotline. Hey, like I was telling y'all, I'm like, this is just a bad time for Detroit sports, man. All our teams just
it's something
to ass right now, man.
Oh, don't say that.
That'll be your third strike, guys.
Well, shit, maybe it is something to. Well, hey, no, in Michigan, there probably is something to goddamn water.
Yeah, man. It's bad, man. We just hired a doofus for a head coach in Detroit.
How about this? There's a dark cloud over Detroit. Let's put it that way.
That's even worse. fucking storm cloud over Detroit, man.
If you want to jump over here with me in Charlotte and Carolina, man, I got you. Come on, man. We got room over here.
He will go to Chicago before he go to Charlotte.
Bullshit. That's even worse.
I don't know.
He ain't going to Chicago. Hell no. Yeah, man, it sucks.
B, you was talking about Anthony Edwards. What you think about him so far?
Yeah, I mean, I like him. That's another a rookie that I know y'all was mentioning, you know, the other obvious ones and Melo and Wiseman and my man from IQ from the Knicks. And it's somebody else too. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, I like Anthony Edwards. I mean, I liked him coming in, you know, coming into the draft. You know, me and FIFO was like, yo, if that dude can really play up to his potential, he's going to be a matchup problem because he's already coming out of Georgia. He was already grown man, like he was already grown man ready for the league. So it's just a matter of him just adjusting to the game. I mean, once he slows down, if he still wants to play basketball, because remember, I think it was a lot of talk about him. Like, do he really want to play basketball? Or he just playing it because he's just that talented. But if he's really dedicated, I think Anthony Edwards would be a good, he'd be one of the leading candidates, you know, one of the candidates for rookie of the year. I don't know if he's going to win, but that's just another rookie that I like. You know, over
that's
there.
Such a disappointed team too. Minnesota, like Minnesota, just can't right? get right, man. Like they have so much talent, but they it's just do. Like, it's like they and, just don't and, do anything with it.
Yeah.
Well, he struggled, man. These last three, four or five games, he's really struggled, and his shooting has been awful.
It's gonna happen sometimes with rookies, man. Rookies gonna have those bad games. You know, they're gonna have stretches where they're gonna play bad because they're not used to playing basketball at this consecutive pace. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. sure, you play AAU all year, you play your high school leagues all year, but playing against grown ass man opposed to playing against high school kids and college kids is a different breed, man. So
yeah,
it's just some adjusting, man. A lot of
and then this season of all seasons, right? 72 right. games compressed right. season,
right?
Yeah. Anthony Edwards hasn't played since March, a real competitive right. game. You know what I mean? So right. yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, no real training. You know,
it's starting to show right now though, because he's struggling. Like I said, these last five or six games, I don't think he's even scored double figures. Did he score? Yeah, he did not last night either. He had scored in double figures in about five or six games, and he had one game where he put up an offer, and he had another game where he scored 2 points. He's just not been he's not been consistent at all either. Consistency is one. Well, these are rookies first off, so expectations. Especially in a COVID year coming off, right. you know, the asterisk season last year. These guys, you know, they're going to go up and down. But at the same time, it's been tough getting consistency from him.
Yeah.
Is that all on your list?
Yeah, that's so
good. Now, I mean, Melo, on the other hand. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. We ain't talking about that nigga no more. Did as far as Brooklyn. It's still early. So I want to check in. Throughout the weeks that we recover NBA to make sure that we give some of the rookies some love because they're the future. Because we seen a lot of these niggas. LeBron, as quiet as it's kept, and my homeboy said, don't even talk about this, but LeBron is probably 2-3 years away from calling it quits.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's waiting for his son to get into the league, play 1 year to say that
LeBron,
he's the first
LeBron. And that's LeBron it. About to be like Tom Brady, man. LeBron will be playing until he's 45.
But you know what's crazy is he can. He's one of the few that can. LeBron looks amazing. It's
crazy, man.
And he's
the fact that he's never had a major injury. Like the fact that LeBron's never had like a serious, like, you know, God willing, obviously, but yeah, he's never had like a major injury, you know, anything like that. I mean, it's just a credit to that dude, man. That dude is just
And I'm not like I said, I'm not a LeBron fan on the court. I am off the court. You cannot do nothing but get that man his flowers right now because this dude is so consistent. He has his team. I mean, these teams, like I said, that team last year, I didn't like that Lakers team last year at all. I hated on that team, even with Anthony Davis and all that. But LeBron,
world champs, baby.
He's amazing. He's just an amazing person, athlete, everything. That dude is up there.
I'm hoping to get because I hated the fact that I didn't see Dwayne Wade live before he retired. I want to see at least LeBron, even Kobe. I think I was young at the time, but like to see him like when I appreciate basketball. I'm just trying to see the greats before they go. Y'all know me. I'm never going to be the biggest LeBron fan, but obviously I say he's the GOAT off the court. But if he wins another title this year,
He might not if it's happening.
Yeah. I don't know about that. We'll see what Brooklyn has to say about it, but I think that'll do wonders for his legacy. I think you have to say he to go. And well, hold on, the thing that'll be the ice on the case. If Space Jam is better than the original,
that'll do it for you.
He the GOAT. That's all it needs. He the GOAT.
That's the barometer. Okay, got it.
I got a question for you before we get out of here. I was just watching that Sixers game last night. We know Embiid had a monster game, 42, 9 rebounds. I don't know if they gave him that last
one. Against the Celtics?
Yeah.
Celtics ain't playing that well these days.
They did. Well, Tatum's been out, to be fair.
Jaylen Brown did have a nice move, though, but he couldn't keep up when they needed him. But, you know, he had a nice game.
You're saying it's like Marlon Wayans without Sean?
Yeah.
but yeah, he had like 40 points in 28 minutes. He played great defense down the stretch in the closing moments. You know, his hands were active. But one of the things that I noticed, and I'm gonna ask y'all, especially you, Shelton, I haven't seen the antics, the foolishness, the clowning. Has that been present? Because he seemed like his mind space, like his head,
I'll tell you,
was
the
just
answer.
Different last night.
He's growing up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's somebody. I don't know. And I'm noticing the same thing too, Ken. It's like somebody's talked to this guy. And Doc it Rivers, must maybe? Have registered. It could have been Doc. You know what? Now that you say it, man, that's a great point. Somebody spoke to him and got him thinking about what he could be. I saw Shaq talking about him today. Like, you know, if he keep playing like this, then I got to put him on that Mount Rushmore with me. And I was like, yeah, you know, like he's playing now instead of talking and doing all the playing around stuff he normally would do. So I'm impressed this year with him. He's playing ball, man. He's looking impressive.
Yeah, I saw him miss the free throw and he was mad. Like he was talking to himself and not like clowning, like funny talking to himself. He was like really pissed that he missed a free throw in a pivotal moment of the game. And he was like 13 or 14 or something. Like you have been hitting all your free throws. You mad you missed that one because it's like he knew that could cost him the game. And the other thing I'll say that I've been just observing from them is that in the fourth quarter, they play really good, smart basketball. They've slowed down. They know what sets they want to get into. Like, I guess overall, what I'm saying is you can kind of start to see Doc Rivers' impact on this team.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of his coaching.
You can. And Danny Green is a nice piece. I don't, you know, he still ain't killing them like that, but I'm just saying he's a nice piece as far as keeping the ball moving and that veteran leadership, because he's been in these championship cities. So he's seen it. You know what I'm saying? So you know, you got some people around that team now that make a lot of sense. That team makes sense and it looks better than it has in a long time.
Yeah. And Joel is starting to play aggressive, like down in the paint, like he should. Like I've been screaming that for the get-go. Like if that dude play down the paint, like no one can guard him. It'll open up so much stuff for that Sixers offense, man. And I think he's doing that. That's why I was telling my dad that earlier when I was talking to him. Like he was like, yeah, he really think the influence of Doc Rivers is kind of helping make why the Sixers are playing so serious, you know, playing so well now. Because they playing like if the game was to slow down, like it normally does in the playoff, the Sixers like they can handle that adjustment just fine. So yeah, and I think we talked about it last week. Like, are they a lock for a number one seed? Like, I think that was like one of the topics because they're looking at focus right now. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I hope they can keep it up. I hope they keep it up, man. Make the conference a lot more interesting.
Embiid is finally maturing, man. I was just gonna say, Embiid. Everything that y'all are saying is accurate. Yeah, he's coming into his own. He's maturing. The antics, like what Ken brought up, the antics looks like they've just calmed down. Man. He's just playing basketball. That's the biggest thing with Joel Embiid. Like Joel Embiid was starting to feel like Dwight Howard, man, where it was just like the antics overshadowed everything else. Mm-hmm. And now it's about business. He's playing basketball. He's dominating every single night. He feels and he's playing like he's the best player on the court, and that's how it should be. So the X factor for them, though, is still Ben Simmons, man. To me, he is the ultimate X factor for them. If he plays well and he finally starts to live up to his expectations, then then that Sixers team is going to be straight.
Seth Curry was putting together a pretty nice little run too. He's out. I think he was out with COVID. I don't know if that's what he's still out for, but
I don't know why the Mavericks didn't re-up him. I don't know, maybe they were over the cap, but that was a huge loss for the Mavericks to me.
Yeah, and he's been a nice little pickup for Philly, man. But Shake Milton played good coming off the bench last night too. Let me ask y'all something else about it. Was something else I wanted to ask y'all about this team. I forgot what it was. Dang, I forgot what I was gonna ask y'all about.
Why you remember that? What y'all think about? I don't know, I joined the show kind of late, but what y'all been did y'all talk about Zion? In his last couple games?
Nah, not really.
Zion been hooping, man.
That's it?
No, he's just been hooping. No, because Zion is always a conversation, right? It always seems like his name is always in the media, positive and negatively, for you know.
He was in my top five when I ranked my power forwards. Zion was in
there.
You giving him respect?
Where was he ranked?
Three.
What about you, Ken?
I had him three too.
He's not on my
list. I missed last week's show, so I didn't do a ranking.
I had him six, but once again, that's because I got KD with the fours and I forgot who else I had.
I got you. Giannis probably. So yeah, so that can, you know, move some things around. But Zion, look, man, I said it when he was coming into the league. He's a man amongst boys, and even in the NBA, he's a man amongst boys.
Man, you see him muscle some. You've been seeing him muscle some of these dudes out the way, dude. This
shit, man.
People bounce off this man like his name is Luke Cage.
Real talk. And he's still not.
He's just scratching.
I was gonna say that he's still not what he's gonna be. That's what's so impressive about him, man. Is he still got growing? You can watch him growing, and I see him getting. He's tough. He's tough. Yeah. I know what I was going to ask y'all about Philly real quick. Mm. James Harden ended up going to Brooklyn, as we know. Do you think that it would have been better or worse for Philly if he was there? Right. If they had made that trade.
Better, because he can do a lot what Ben does offensively, like in terms of generating open shots and stuff like that. But he's going to take those shots that Ben doesn't take. But he also can't affect the game like Ben because he's not 6'11". Right. You know, so there is some trade-off, but I think what you gain in terms of spacing and scoring ability, that's ridiculous. Especially if it's almost like a Ben for James Harden straight up, where you don't have to give up a Tobias or anybody else. Right? You give up draft picks and Ben Simmons and you just pretty much swap them out. I'll take that.
What about defensively?
No, of course not. You know, Ben Simmons should be an all-first defender. So, defensively, they would hurt. But because you have Joel Embiid and because that team is so stacked offensively and defensively elsewhere, I'm willing to take that risk.
Yeah, I think it would be a better fit. It'd be a better fit for James Harden, but I don't think it would be a good fit for the Sixers, especially how they're playing right now. I think he would take away from Embiid's maturation and growth. So they almost better off that they didn't make that deal. Sometimes the best deals are the ones you don't make.
The only reason I would think that wouldn't be so bad is because I don't think he would take away from Embiid's shots. I think it would come from somewhere else. And the fact that he is a good passer, if nothing else, he's great with the ball in his hands and getting the ball around when he needs to. And like we talked about, first through third, he can do his thing and then rely on Embiid more in the fourth quarter to kind of carry him where he slows down. So I think it would have been good to get him there, but at the same time, it scares me because I just like the makeup of Philly's team. I like how it is. And being a Ben Simmons fan, it would hurt me to see him leave.
He took two more threes. He missed them. he took one up.
an air ball.
Yeah, but he's taking the three. He's taking the three.
He can't be. Can't nitpick.
Yeah.
So we're going to see. But after this season of him shooting threes, we got to be critical of it.
I don't know. We can talk about that later. But I think that, once again, Doc Rivers effect, man. I thought when he shot that air ball, I was like, oh, he done. But he shot four and he missed them. But I think he's taking them. So we'll see. But I, once again, Doc Rivers, man. So we don't know if that will lead to anything more than that. That remains to be seen. But, you know,
life on the line right now, today, January 21st. Y'all picking Philly for the finals? Or you still got to see more?
I don't even know why is that a question? Because that's a hell no for me.
They've been the best team in the East.
Today. I'm not talking about April or May or June.
I think they could beat Giannis. I think the Celtics would give them some issues because of what they got on the perimeter. But
they just always do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with Tatum and Jaylen.
They haven't played Brooklyn yet, have they?
And I don't know why I keep forgot about Brooklyn, but
yeah, to me, I got to see how they play Brooklyn, but I would take Brooklyn still over them, even with the roster they got, even with the questions that we talked about earlier. It's just I trust those guys more than
anybody. Yeah, I don't know if they can keep up with Brooklyn scoring.
Yeah,
but
yep. I'm taking Brooklyn.
Yeah. No, Manny, I'm not. I take that back.
So no Milwaukee mentions anywhere, huh?
I just saw a clip of Giannis airballing with AD on him. I'm not picking Milwaukee right now.
Giannis can't even shoot free throws anymore. He's like going backwards. This man was 1 for 10.
Yes. Something ain't right.
And this your MVP.
Hey. He is the MVP. He's my MVP.
This y'all king, man. This y'all king.
Yeah, he's still MVP now. Once again, we have to remember MVP is an in-season award. It's not a postseason award.
That's all I got for this week.
All right. Yep. All right. Well, you know, once again, we'll be back Tuesday, Thursday next week. And we'll catch you guys then. So we out.
Hey, real quick before we go. We missed a couple of super chats last week.
Yeah, we did. Go ahead, Show.
Did you find them? Because I forgot to find them.
So you gonna bring it up just
what I was gonna say, and let me tell you what I was gonna say about it was we apologize for that. It won't happen again.
I thought we were gonna bring them up because I thought they were football questions.
They were. I thought
I was gonna bring them up on Tuesday.
Tuesday next week. That's right.
But while I got y'all, B and FIFA, y'all weren't on the episode. Let me get y'all weekend picks for the playoffs for football.
Who playing again? Or let me look.
It's the Bucks versus
give me Green Bay.
Who playing B before team left?
Yeah, Championship City. B think this is a full schedule. God.
But B be acting like he don't watch football. This nigga got eight time we record, this nigga got Detroit Live Blue on.
B out here thinking week 10.
It's Detroit versus Jacksonville.
Hold on.
But it's the Bucks versus the Packers, and it's the Chiefs versus the Bills. Those are the last.
Give me Packers. I think we're gonna have a Packers versus Bills Super Bowl. I know I'm picking Gizmo home. I know. Oh, wow. I'm picking any given Sunday, man. We seen it's crazy stuff to be happening if football weekend. So I'm gonna say Packers and the Bills.
Nah, I'm gonna see 1.0 versus 2.0. So give me them Chiefs and give me them Packers.
They just gotta knock them upside the head one good time.
They gotta get to them first.
They'll get to him. Somebody will take that penalty, bro.
Oh yeah. Yeah, somebody will definitely take that penalty. If it's worth winning the Super Bowl, oh, they'll take that penalty. The owner will probably be like, yo, man, I got you. Like, I got that covered.
Don't even worry about it, yeah.
Right. Don't even worry about it. Go ahead and get that penalty. You know, I got you. Long as he's not coming back in the game.
They about to sweep the leg on Mahomes, boy. They about to sweep the leg on Mahomes.
It ain't nothing wrong with that, man. That man was just trying to rest the rest of that game and get ready for the Super Bowl. I mean, for the playoffs. He was done. That's all that was.
Shelton got Chad Henne in the Hall of Fame.
No. I would have Chad Henne beating Buffalo, not in the Hall of Fame.
All right, that's it.
All right, you over here cursing to my nigga Patty. All right.
We're going to get out of here, man. We'll see you guys Tuesday. Peace.
Thank you.